Shaking a little bit, so let me gather myself. Not because I was nervous to pray, it's a holy moment, guys. And it's to be a good steward, you got to listen to the Father. So if you will, just be still for a moment, please. Pray that you will prepare your heart right now to give God a big yes in your heart. For some of you, that may scare you because you don't know what He's going to ask of you. We're so bound by the fear of man. We're so bound by the fear of rejection, the fear of the unknown. Many times we don't obey the Lord. If we truly want to reach this community, if we really want to be a lighthouse to this place, it's going to take strong belief and strong obedience. Touch every heart here today, God. We're here, Father. We're here. And we want You. We don't want the opinions of man. We don't want an agenda. We want You. Holy Spirit, we want You. Jesus, we want You. Jesus, You're King. Jesus, You're King. And this is Your kingdom. And this is Your rule. Nothing we do here today, nothing we do here today means nothing without Your thumbprint. We're here, Father. We've gotten up, we've gotten dressed. I came here to the house to worship You, to hear from You. I pray for every heart here, God. I pray for a stirring. I pray for a longing. Many people here have needs, God, but we have the greatest need we've ever had when we received You is we have You. And You're all that we need. You're the difference maker in our lives. You kill off everything that was destroying us and You breathe life into us. I pray that You're our only desire, God. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give You desires of your heart. I pray that You are that desire, God. I pray today, Lord, that we are seeking first the kingdom. I pray today, God, our minds are not into tomorrow. They're in the right now. And God, what You want to do. I pray for such a shaking and a stirring in our lives, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be preaching out of John chapter 11. And I want to talk to you this morning. And it's going to be hard for me because I'm really hot now and my glasses are fogging. So, I didn't know this was a struggle for all you glass wearers until I one day got out of my vehicle. And I went from like a hot air to a cold air or vice versa. I don't know what it was. And all I saw was condensation for the next few minutes. And that's exactly what's happening right now. And I appreciate Pastor trusting me enough to let me fill in today. Maybe he just wanted a week off. I don't know. But, yeah. Man. I'm preaching to you today about the wait. The waiting time. Come on, guys. What do I mean by the wait? I'm talking about the time when something life-altering occurs, like disease or divorce. I'm talking about when an expectation is built, a promise is given, a recent change or behavior, a word is spoken, an intense desire in the heart. I'm talking about from that point until you see God move. I'm talking about the time between what has happened and your desire for what needs to be done. Why am I talking about this today, guys? Because unfortunately, this is the time where poor decisions are made. This is the time when people return to poor habits, when faith begins to die, if not shrink. It's when people lose heart and hope becomes deferred. Frustration, disappointment, anger sets in. It's a time when dreams die. When in reality, it's supposed to be the time of strengthening and where faith is built and godly character is produced, patience, completeness, faith, joy, and life is breathed into you, clarity and understanding, a forging of your spirit, a shaping, a molding, and renewing of your mind. But we're an instant society, are we not? We want it our way when we want it. And we don't want to go through the process. Who are we to think that we are greater than Jesus? And Jesus learned obedience through suffering. Come on now. Who are we to think that we're above Him, that our life should be above His? Are you with me this morning? It's that time when a single person starts desiring to have a mate and that person is not there. It's that time when a young man like me desires to go into the ministry and 20 years later you're still doing the same thing. It's that time, guys, when you get a disease and you're waiting for your healing. It's that time when you're going through tough times and you're like, where's God? And God wanted me to illustrate that today through the life or through the story of Lazarus. So I got a lot of scripture to read. But you're used to it because Eric does the same thing. So so go with me to John 11, verse 1. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Martha who anointed the Lord with the fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to Him, saying, Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, the sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now I'm going to stop right there for just a second. Doesn't say that God put the sickness on Him. He was saying is what's about to happen will bring about the glory of God. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when He heard that he was sick, He stayed two more days in the place where He was. Then after this, He said to His disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to Him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things He said, and after that He said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then His disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his what? His death. All right? They wouldn't get it, right? But they thought that He was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go so that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Mary, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, and Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even if I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Then Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Mary said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at that last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And when he had said these things, she went away and secretly called her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him, and Jesus had not yet come to town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her. When they saw Mary, rose up and quickly and said, went out following her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, and she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? Then she said, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who had opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Let's stop right there. I'm talking about the wait time, guys. Go back with me to verse 6. This is what I'm talking about. Or verse 5, it says, now Jesus loved Mary, or Martha, and her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, what was his decision? He stayed for 2 more days. See, we get this idea that God is on our timetable. We really believe that he's there for us at our beck and call. What I've seen happen in people's lives, and this is where my heart began to break, and this is where I feel like the Lord flooded me with this word. As I see people make good decisions, and all of a sudden things begin to unravel, and they go right back to where they were. I see people who used to have a dream no longer dream anymore. Why? Because it's easier to kill the dream than it is to live with the disappointment of it not being fulfilled. I've seen people who call out to God and call out to God, and they're like, where are you at? Where are you at? If you were only here earlier, Jesus. He stayed 2 more days. Could he have not, like the centurion, just sent his word? Huh? Could he have not just spoken the word, Lazarus comes forth? Because he does later. And see, this is what I see in the mark of our maturity, is how we respond when there is a time between whatever you expect to the time that God moves. And instead of God driving principles and character and patience in you, you choose the other. You choose to live from a place of unrest and lack of patience and all these other things that cause us harm, instead of grabbing hold of God and doing what he's calling us to do. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I've seen people, I said to somebody the other day, so I started going to church and everything started going wrong. I'm like, well, what do you expect? Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know what? I just know in my life, when I decide to take matters into my own hands, I mess it up. And typically it's because I lose patience in the moment. I mean, because there's some things I really, really would like to change in my family. I'd like to see some things move, but I know I've got to stand put or I'm going to make a terrible decision. The Bible says things like, so a dog returns to his vomit, does a fool return to his folly? See, I see that so much. I see people who get their lives straight, and then as soon as some pressure comes on them, they revert right back to what they did to bring about bondage in their life. See, I believe God is coming after your unbelief this morning. I believe he's wanting to plow up the hardened ground in your heart. I believe he's wanting to revive dreams this morning. I believe he's wanting to give us hope and to breathe life into us. So we got to be in it for the long haul. He stayed for 2 more days. Now, some of people that I've been around, I'm not saying this church, but some of the people I've been around were not like Jesus as a pastor. He has never said anything to me. I'm going to tell you past experiences because I grew up in a family of pastors. If the pastor is not there when you expect him to be there, you see what I mean? There becomes an expectation that everything has to happen on your time. Because you're in stress. You're in distress. And who you need is to get alone in a secret place with the Father and let Him love on you back into a place of rest. Instead, we project it upon man. I mean, if Jesus was a pastor today, people would have you know, understand what I'm saying? Well, if you were here and they begin to project blame upon Jesus, shouldn't be that way. You know, again, we live in this instant society. I'm seeing commercials right now for TurboTax. You know, get your taxes back so we can get our $25.95 back so I can take my wife to eat. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. If I talk to my mom like some people talk to McDonald's employees, when she put that hamburger in the skillet, if it wasn't on my plate in 35 seconds, then I start cussing her out the way some people do because it's not my expectation. What do you think would have happened to me? That was the day before spanking was okay. And I had a few. I needed more. Do you understand what I'm saying? And what gets me about all of that, it's like a person goes through the drive-thru and they want their food within a certain amount of time, right? And then they go home, they eat, and they complain because it's cold. Well, how do you think they get it to you so fast? These guys don't remember, but some of you guys remember the Jetsons. That's not McDonald's where you push the button and the hot meal comes out. That food's been lying around under a warmer. And then we go home and we complain about that because it's in our heart. We're full of it because everything has to be about us and our way. He stayed two more days. He made them wait. Despite the pressure, listen, God is not moved by your emotional state of being. God is not moved by your immediate need. He's moved by the fullness of His timing. So we need to do what? Renew our mind and start thinking right. We need to get our minds in a position that God, You stay as long as You have to. Because I know what You're doing inside of me right now is much larger. See, I've been told bad advice growing up. And I've been in debates with people about this. Don't ever tell anybody not to pray for patience. You're just telling off on yourself. You're telling the world that you don't want to go through anything. And who does? But when my grandma died, my dad died, and my grandfather died, all of a span of 4 years, James chapter 1, 2 through 4, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, see, we don't want our faith tested. We just want to have a confession with no real heart depth to what we're saying. We really don't want it tested. Do you really want to know what God has to say to you today? Because what if it grates against what you want to do? Will you do it? We call up that person and say, I'm sorry. We go to that neighbor and tell them about the love of the Lord. We go over across the street or across the town and talk to that person that God has been telling you about. Will you talk to the person at Walmart because the Holy Spirit prompted you to witness? See, we're scared to hear that stuff because it goes against what we want. We want to live a comfortable life. We do. But that's why God gives us the Holy Spirit, because He's a comforter. And it's all this. It's about this waiting period. I've seen so many people sabotage their lives during this time because God hadn't moved fast enough for their liking. And it breaks my heart, guys. My only prayer this whole time is, God, set Your people free. Set every captive. Set every captive free that's in bondage to their own thinking. Everything that's exalting itself above Your word, God, destroy that thought. This is not about me and this is an opportunity or anything like this. This is about You and me. Because I believe God wants to touch everybody in here. It's just not everybody wants to be touched. This is not a checklist of my day. I'm a son of the living God. And when I leave here, I don't change. I hate religion. It blinds and confuses and distorts the truth. Why? Why, you ask? This is what I come up with in my heart here. Go with me to verse 16, or I think it's 14. Jesus says something very powerful, and I grab it, and hopefully you grab it too. It says, Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. He cleared it up for them, right? They thought he was just hitting the snooze alarm, right? Or the snooze button. He said, I am glad for whose sakes? Your sakes. Why didn't he go so fast? Why did he stick around for a little while longer? For their sakes. Not Lazarus' sakes, because Lazarus was okay. It was for everybody who will witness the power of God at a level that they've never seen before. Because they did not have a grid for that type of belief. They did not have the ability to see the resurrection power even after 4 days of lying there corrupting. Come on, that was for their sake. We think that this thing is about us when it's about Him. It's about us living our lives to a place of death so that Christ can live through us. One of my favorite scriptures that has so much impact, Romans 8:29. For those that He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His image. So when I go through things, what is the end result? That I look like Him. I believe like Him. I talk like Him. Not so I can have a worldwide ministry, but so that His name will become famous wherever I go. Not saying He doesn't bless. I'm not saying that there's no joy. I'm not saying there's no life and peace, because it's all there. It's mutual. But I'm saying that my life is for Him. And it's for their sakes that Jesus was going to wait around for a little bit longer, not only to show them His power, but to set them up for the crucifixion. That He too can raise from the dead. We make it about us and our blessings and our dreams, and we want it to be all about us and stay in our little comfort zones. You know, I get wrecked by stories like Stephen. I don't know about you. A man who was just preaching the truth and said something that the religious didn't respect or like, so they killed him. Now, what about his dream? What about his blessings? Well, he got it when Jesus stood up and received him. See, Paul understood. These guys, these apostles, they understood what all this was about. To live as Christ, to die as gain. I'm not here for my sake, but for your sake. They were giving their lives away, knowing that there's going to be a glorious time when faith will become sight and they get to embrace their King. Until then, they were going to do His bidding and have a yes in their heart and do exactly what He says. And even if they don't see everything they want to see, they're still going to believe. I mean, can you imagine? Let's go through the Bible. Let's look at a few of them. Do you think Abraham heard that he was going to be the father of many nations, that he'd think it'd be 20 years later before Isaac would be born, when he was old and dead on the inside? Do you think Joseph, when he was telling his brothers about the dreams and how they're going to bow to him, do you think he thought that he was going to take stage pretty soon? No, he went through a pit and he had to go through a prison. And then at the end, he says something very mature and very something that should challenge our heart. He says, all these things God brought about for His glory. Think about a David who was anointed as a king, only to be loyal only to be loyal to his king and help him out before long jealousy had set in. And years go by. What about Moses? You're going to lead your people out, Moses. He goes, kills an Egyptian. And what does he do for the next 40 years? And if we don't get what we want within a week, we're stressing. But God could touch you today. I can't guarantee you tomorrow it's all going to change. As a matter of fact, in the tomb, the stench was growing. Some of you are believing for your kids right now, and you're going to come out of here today because I believe God's going to infuse hope in you, and they may do something that stinks worse than the day before, but you cannot be moved. You may be wanting work, and they keep turning you down and keep turning you down. You cannot be moved from that place of belief. He did it for their sake so that they would believe. His word is true. You've got to settle that. That's a foundational truth for you to go forward in your life, that His word is true and it's unshakable. And it's not to be questioned and doubted. And see, that's what happens. What happens? We try out for this. It doesn't happen. So discouragement starts to set in. We move ourselves from faith to doubt. And that's where the sabotage of your life begins. I would love for it to be tomorrow, but I can't guarantee it. I would love for your dreams to be fulfilled tomorrow, as long as it's His dream for you. What about His dream, though, that none should perish but have everlasting life? What about Him? It's His wait time. It's His birthing place. It's the travailing place. It's the time when we stay and we stand and we stand some more. It's the time that we won't be moved and these things moving us because we're not moved by our emotions. We're not moved by the moment. We're not moved by our circumstances. We're moved by the Holy Spirit of the living God. He did it for their sakes. So that their eye would be open. I pray that over this church all the time. God, open their eyes. Open them to spiritual discernment, the knowledge of your will. Give them the understanding they need for whatever their next assignment is. Man, did I used to live in the future. Man, have I been frustrated with God. Man, have I wanted to put a knife through my dreams. I have been overlooked for jobs that I know I was qualified for. And God started ministering to me because life is not about me. Ray, I'm ordering your steps. Stay the course. You see, we know in part, guys. We only see. We think that we do. We're pride people. We're full of pride. We think we see everything. We think we know everything, right? But what if you're stuck in traffic because God is delivering you from an accident? See, we don't even think about things like that. All we think about is our impulses and our rage, and this is stupid because we waited till the last minute to leave. Now we're late. Now our senses are heightened, so now we're going to get aggravated with anybody that gets in our way. I do it. There's no stones in my pocket this morning, guys. Am I alone? Why? Because the world has conditioned us to be like this. Have it your way. I did it my way. Sinatra, right? Burger King, have it your way. TurboTax, Instant Tax. We're all that struggle with weight looking for that one pill. Right? We walk in here and everybody has a six pack next week. And God gives you that dream and you fulfill it. God bless you right now, okay? I hope you make millions. Hope you invest into the kingdom, though. Do you understand what I'm saying? We want it now. But faith is the only thing that is now. You don't please God without it because that's not His nature. He knows when He sets His word forth, it will accomplish. You got to agree with it. You have to agree with it. Yeah, things go sideways. Are you going to be moved by it? Dreams are delayed. You don't get your way a lot of times. You can pout or you can fight and stand and say, God, I know what you're doing inside of me is so large. And I know that your patience, let me complete that, that you would be patient, complete and lacking nothing. I know you're driving to me to a place that I look like your son, that I am complete and lacking nothing in you, God. Do you realize that some of my valleys have really been my mountaintops? And my mountaintops, my valleys? Because it's an upside down kingdom and we think completely different. Because they were struggling to understand what Jesus was saying throughout this whole story. He's asleep. Well, just let him rest. He's dead, guys. He's dead. Flatlined. Not snoring, flatline. Yeah? And then they get it. He will rise again. I understand, Jesus. On that day, he will rise again. No, he's going to rise again here in a minute. Why did he weep? Because he was moved by the emotions of the moment? No, he wept because of the unbelief, guys. Because there was so much doubt around him that it weighed upon him to draw an emotional response, and he cried. It didn't say he shed a few. It said he wept. Because he cries over us when we choose not to listen to heaven and agree with his word and speak the resurrection power that's in our mouths. He will never co-sign on your doubt. He won't do it. Look throughout all the Gospels, what he keeps saying. How long will I have to put up with you, you perverse and unbelieving generation? Oh, would you just believe? Believe, believe, believe. Have faith in God. And do not doubt in your heart. Say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Come on, guys. There is power in our words. There's resurrection power. We have the... Oh, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Are you with me, guys? I've seen way too many lives destroyed. Way too many people going back to the pit from which God delivered them from. I work with middle schoolers. It's tough. It's really tough. Because the little minds, they're so emotionally driven. And it's hard to sort through the emotions to get them to have a rational thought. Maybe they're just seeing, maybe they're doing what they see modeled in front of them. It's time for the children of God to believe God at His Word. It's time. It's time. I want our lampstand burning strong here. And if we're full of doubt, and we're full of unbelief, we're not going to accomplish much for such a time as this. We'll be like the children of Israel, walking laps in the desert until one day our corpse lies there. Why? Because they believe the unbelief instead of the two that said we can take it. I don't care how old you are. There's Calebs in this house. When he was 80, he said, I'm going to take it. This is not about a youth movement. This is not about an adult movement. This is about God moving. It's about all of us together. It's about you adults setting the example for these over here. Some of you need to set the example for me. I'm not the hot shot on the block. But I'm very passionate about this. And it breaks my heart because I see the deception on people. I wish I can peel back the deception, the scale off their eyes, because they can really see what this gospel is really about. It's about your life being transformed, looking like Him. Do blessings come? Absolutely. But that's not the main focus. Does it happen right away? Hardly ever. Now let's finish the story. Verse 40. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Do you want to see it? That question's for you this morning. What if he asked you to do something that doesn't sit well with you? You told everybody that I marched around you, Sister Julie. Do you think that was fun for me? Even if it was just a small moment for us? I thought I was going to have to do it in front of everybody, and that really made me nervous. But you didn't show up that day, so you got me off the hook. Not that you just didn't show up, you just wasn't here that day, okay? I'm sure you might have felt a little weird too. But if it caused those cancer cells to die, you're worth it to me. But we cannot, guys, we cannot tell our kids about all these powerful things that happen in the Old Testament and then turn around and just dismiss them in our own life. Walk around the walls, shout the victory, take the land, come on. Throw your staff down, a snake, pick the snake back up. I'm not picking up no snake. I better if he tells me to. Now, we're not a snake-handling church here, so take a deep breath, okay? I believe that was illustrated when Paul was bitten by a snake and he shook it off. Not, let's be testing the Lord. Right? But come on. The Egyptian army clicking at your heels? Hold up your hands and I'll split the waters. What? Listen, what I'm saying is faith is going to require some risk out of you. And that's the reason why you're not seeing the glory. Because you're staying within the fear of man. You won't see it. And if you think he's going to package it in a certain way for you, forget it. He wants to bust boundaries in your life this morning. I'm not talking about weird and kooky. I'm not talking about us trying to manifest these things. I'm talking these things just happening because God is moving. Whatever it may be. I'm not even looking for a response today. Whatever God wants to do here in a moment, I'm going to let him do it. If it's me praying over you, that's it. But if you want a touch of God, we're going to make it open here in just a minute. He said, "Take away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying." And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me, and I know that you always hear me." I wish we had that confidence. Are you a son of the living God? Are you the righteousness of Jesus? And he turns his ears towards the righteous. Your prayers don't go to the ceiling, for crying out loud. They don't even have to, because he lives inside of you. It says the people, "And because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you had sent me." What's fixing to happen is about ready to blow their mind, angel. It's about ready to recreate a grid of faith that they never knew that they could have. It's about ready to replace every fear of dying and loss with faith and jubilation and excitement in life. "Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth.'" I don't know about you. That's a climax of a movie for me. And I'd be sitting there thinking, is this going to happen? You know what I'm saying? Or is he con artist? I mean, that's what we think. Is this going to happen? Maybe. And he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Loose him. And let him go." God wants to loose some of you guys today. It's up to you. One or all. He wants to loose some of you guys today because you have been strapped by fear. You have been looking at your circumstances. You are bound tight by thoughts that are keeping you from seeing the glory of God in your life. Not only that, but when he looses you, you can't say, "Oh, this will happen tomorrow." You say, "I'm standing and I'm not moving. Because I know in Him, His promises are yes, and in Him they are amen. Are you with me this morning? He's wanting to speak life into you. He's a master of speaking life into dead things. Come on. Ms. Treeman. You want to stand with me this morning? I know we've already had two moments. And I'm not trying to belabor the moment. But if your dream is dead today, He wants to breathe it back into you. If you have a kid that just keeps doing knuckleheaded things and it drives you crazy and you feel like sometimes you're losing it, He wants to set your mind straight. If you're having problems at work and you're thinking, oh, I got to get out of here, when He might be wanting to use you as the greatest light in that building, you need to come let Him touch you. Not me, not me, not Pastor. You need to let the Lord deal with you. There's so many scenarios that I can throw out there at you. But what is causing you to shrink in your faith? What is causing you to have doubt in your heart? What has caused you to lose sight of who you are in Him? What has caused you to kind of get away from faith and blame Him, saying, if you were only here when I called you? Come forward. If you don't know Him this morning, if you don't know Him this morning, guys, I can't speak for everybody in here, but I know a lot. He's changed my life, guys. The blood was shed for you and me. He loves you so, so much. He wants your life to be so full of life and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He wants, guys, He wants you to see who you are and what your purpose is and what your destiny is and why are you here. He wants to open up your heart to who He is. If you don't know Him today, you're missing out. You're missing out. You're going to stumble through life while the time is night. And you know things you're doing are not working for you, but you still choose to do the same thing over and over. Because insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, as Eric said. He wants to make you alive. You're a son and you're a daughter. He wants you to open up your heart to Him so you can see Him and fellowship with Him and be reconciled to Him. I'm just going to ask that you bow your heads real quick. If you want a relationship with Jesus, can I pray for you right now? Man, I don't mean a prayer to go to heaven, guys. I mean heaven coming into you. I mean Jesus revealing Himself to you right now. I'm not talking about fire insurance because you fear a judgment someday. I'm talking about having a loving relationship with one who loved you so much that would rather die than have heaven without you. I'm talking about one who wants to take your hope deferred and give you hope so high. I'm talking about one who wants to heal you and set you free. He wants to say to you, take those grave clothes off and be loosed in the name of His name. Is that anybody this morning?